All right, let's go ahead and dive in here. And we're meeting with KJ today and doing some exciting things. Richard, what would we like to, we are recording this session for KJ to be able to review if there's something brilliant that's shared. Richard, what would we like to accomplish with KJ today?
Well, KJ, hey, good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
Yeah, the fire that KJ has around business, entrepreneurship, thinking out of the box, and really making things happen for his community is inspiring. And what I want most is to pour gas on his fire and really see him take off like he could never have imagined possible, like that.
Wow.
That sounds awesome.
Wow. Now I'm excited, KJ. So KJ, do you have any questions for me? Anything you would like to accomplish specifically in today's conversation?
Well, I'm all ears at the moment.
Okay. All right. Jill, is there anything that you can think of that we would want to accomplish with KJ, direction you think we ought to go to help him the most?
Yeah, I spoke with Richard, and I think a lot of it is just adding value to KJ, and like Richard had said, you know, improving what he's already doing, just kind of going, Richard had done the 30-minute strategy session with him, so I guess just kind of getting to know what areas he might need some more help or guidance in, I guess you could say, to get him to, you know, like Richard said, adding the gas to his fire. So.
Gotcha. And KJ, have you done real estate in the past?
Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely. I used to be a branch manager at Wells Fargo.
Nice. All right. And have you owned real estate?
Yes, I've owned real estate before.
Okay. Do you own real estate now?
Yes, I do.
And how many units do you have, or what's your real estate portfolio?
Well, I own two houses by downtown by the Georgia Dome.
Okay.
But they've been severely torn apart by the people in the neighborhood. Because I bought them back in 07.
Okay.
But they're just waiting, and I'm just waiting for the city to figure out what they're going to do in the Vine Avenue area downtown.
Okay.
And then I'll look towards the, probably knocking the houses down and building some new ones on there.
Okay.
But for right now, my primary investment is my barber shop and growing it next door to the Braves Stadium here at the Cobb Galleria Center. I'm running into a situation with finding capital, to, you know, grow the business for marketing, retaining employees, and just basic overall working capital for the business outside of just what I'm bringing into it. And, I mean, college and banking and corporate America didn't adequately prepare me for entrepreneurship. I think a lot of it now is not about what you know, but who you know and who wants to see you be successful.
Right, right. And what's your college background?
I have a bachelor's in finance and marketing.
Oh, my gracious. You're just like me. I have one in finance, management, and marketing. That is so awesome. You're like a brother. I'm like, you know, you'd think if somebody had a bachelor's degree in finance, management, and marketing, that would prepare you for owning your own company. But I'm like, yeah, that is not the case. It just, you know, what they're teaching in college is, even in business, it's like it's not for entrepreneurship. So that's awesome. You and I have a very deep connection. I love that. That's awesome. You had said, let's see, have you ever had one-on-one coaching before, business coaching?
I haven't. This
okay.
is this would be the first time. Maybe I've gotten it to this point all on my own merits.
Nice, nice. Well, congratulations on the success you have had. Do you have any impression of business coaching, positive or negative?
No, I don't. I don't have any outlook on it so thus far.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Let's see here. The three things that you would like to accomplish in the next 90 days if you were to be coached is three quality employees who are paying maximum booth rent and coachable on upscale brand, and then hotel coming into the gallery, and then paying off my creditors. How much do you owe?
Well, I have a total life debt of only $19,000.
Wow.
That's it. No student loans. I went to school on a full football scholarship. And the most of the $19,000 I used to invest in the shop to put floors, mirrors, chairs. And if you ever see my shop, it's beautiful. But
wow.
I only have total life debt of $19,000.
Good for you. Are you married? Any children?
No married, no kids.
Okay. All right, here. And then, let's see here. You said your reasons for success was hard work, dedication. You're working 65 hours a week. You'd like to work 30 hours a week. Biggest challenge is getting barbers in and waiting for this location. As the Braves Stadium come in, location, good. Challenge is capital and drawing clients in, finding quality employees to build brand to achieve goals. Love help on capital to pay off credit card, and love help on leadership, someone that is savvy in business, mentor relationships, good. It'd be nice to have good advice, proven systems. Good. Based on your personality assessment, you have a complex personality, KJ. I'm sure you'd probably agree with that.
Yeah.
So in the one test, you test out as a driver, analytic personality, so one of your greatest strengths probably is you like to dot your I's, cross your T's, make sure things are done properly in order?
Absolutely.
And one of your weaknesses might be you like to dot your I's, cross your T's, make sure things are done properly in order?
Yeah.
One of your greatest strengths might be your drive, your assertiveness, you make things happen?
Yes. Yeah.
One of your weaknesses might be your drive, your assertiveness, you make things happen?
Yeah, I could say that too.
One of your greatest strengths is your concern, compassion for people?
True.
And one of your weaknesses is your concern, compassion for people?
Yeah, I could say, I guess.
So our greatest strength, KJ, is our greatest weakness, and our greatest weakness is just our greatest strength misapplied is taking a strength and carrying it too far. You test out as a very complex, a very powerful personality, big engine. So when I combine all that together, this type of personality has a ton of inner conflict in that they have a million ideas, they want to do them all perfect, and they want to do them fast, and they want everybody to be happy.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten away from the million ideas thing, but I use FOCUS as an acronym. FOCUS is follow one course until successful. I don't try to do a multitude of different things at one time. I just do one thing and focus on that one thing.
Yeah, you'd mentioned that was one thing. If you could change yourself, what you like to change. Have you... ever thought about writing a book?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay. What about being a speaker?
Yeah, I would like to do that too.
The FOCUS acronym, did you hear that from somebody else, or did you come up with that on your own?
I came up with that on my own.
Yeah, I've been blessed to be an international speaker and author myself.
Okay.
So I've traveled all around the world, and so I've seen a lot of speakers, author, been exposed to a lot of things, and I've never heard the acronym of FOCUS ever like you said it.
Oh, wow.
Ever. Not once. not any time. That's why I was curious, because I'm pretty up on, you know, what's going on in the speaking, in the professional speaking marketplace. And I've never heard that acronym. I'm like, wow, I wonder where he got that from. You coming up with that on your own, I'm just telling you, is genius. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so what that can do is that one little acronym, that one little piece of your genius could go ahead and help you over, you know, help you overcome your challenges and help you accomplish what you want to help, you know, help you accomplish. If you had the right mentoring, if you had the right systems in place, that one piece is genius. Often, like Richard, he helped me realize a part of genius about me that I didn't realize. That's why connecting with him and his network and all the things he's doing is so powerful. So I told him, because he said, Mark, the 30-minute strategy session changed my life. He said, I've never experienced anything like it on the planet. He said, this is the most significant 30 minutes I've ever had in my life. I said, do you know why that is? And he kind of paused, and I said, it's because I'm a craftsman.
Okay.
And it was funny, because he says, actually, Mark, you're not a craftsman. Okay? And I'm, you know, not, like, when I say something, normally people just nod their heads and say, wow, they don't challenge me a lot, and I love to be challenged. So he's challenging me and saying, Mark, you know, you're not a craftsman. I said, so I become curious like a child because I want to learn something, you know. And so I say, well, what do you mean? He says, you're an artist. And I said, well, what's the difference? He says, well, like a craftsman takes something that is visible, like a piece of, you know, wood, and turns it into something beautiful. He says, an artist takes something from nothing and creates something that's beautiful out of nothing. I'm like, ooh, I'm an artist. I love that. And so when we have the capability to see other people's genius and then help them to develop that genius, that's good not only for them, but everybody in their lives and the entire community as a whole. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And so there's a three-step process that we use, KJ, to determine if or how we might be able to help people. And so step one is to do an examination. So just like a doctor is never going to give you a prescription without doing an examination, the same thing is true with us. We don't know if or how we might be able to help people until we get to know them better. Step two is potential solutions. And then step three is implementation. So the three-step process is examination, solution, and implementation. Does that make sense, KJ?
Okay. Repeat it one more time.
Sure.
Examination, solution, implementation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so in the examination, it can be a short, simple series of questions, or it could be a much more comprehensive, thorough assessment. You know, it's really up to the individual. In step two, solutions, what we have found, KJ, is people tend to like three types of solutions, kind of a basic, an intermediate, and an advanced. The basic is if people know they need something, but they're really not sure what they need, it's a great place to start. Or if people, you know, finances are really, really tight, that's a good place to start. Or sometimes people don't have a strong sense of urgency, or sometimes people are like they have to know everything before they do anything. And so a basic's a great place to start for people like that. The intermediate solution, KJ, tends to be for people who are more intuitive. Like they just kind of trust their instincts, their intuition, and they just go, yeah, this is exactly what I was looking for, and they just dive in. And then on implementation, some people like to implement quickly. Other people, you know, they take a longer period of time, which is fine. And so that's the three-step process, examination, solution, implementation. Does that make sense, KJ?
Yeah, I think so. It's more like a personal SWOT analysis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Very fast. So what Richard has done is he's done what's called a level one and level two examination.
Okay.
There's a level three and level four, which is a business x-ray. There is a financial investment into doing that. So the business x-ray is $285. It looks at three dimensions, nine major areas, seven systems. It looks at over 40 areas of your business and life. It looks at what you're doing right, little tweaks that you could do to improve. It looks at the four phases that every business must go through to get the business running without the individual. So as an entrepreneur, you know, you want to get the barber shop going, running, so you can go out and start another company. Once you get that up and going, you want to start another. So an entrepreneur has a vision, can see things, and then gets in the trenches and does things, and then wants to get it up and independent where it's paying for itself, it's doing it on its own, so they can go out and do something else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I don't want to do anything else. It's all in the realm of barbering. I want to get the shop running till its maximum capacity here and use that money to catapult over into a barber school. A lot of the students that graduate from high school won't go to college because they just don't have the mental capacity to go, or they just don't want to go, or maybe they just don't have the money to go or the grades to get in. So a lot of these kids are going to have trades. So if at 16 they can get financial aid, the school get approved for Title IV funding for the government, get financial aid to get their trade, and then I can use the school as a launching pad to open more shops, but be able to train my young employees to work and have like places to work. I have a full detailed business plan already written out. It's just getting the ball rolling down the hill.
Right. So that's exactly what I was saying. Like, you want to get your barbershop up and going, then you want to start a school, and then once you do that, then you want to teach the trades, and once you go ahead and get all these amazing students going through the school and the training, the things that you're going to teach that actually college won't teach, you and I both know it, then you're going to have a whole bunch of people. Those whole bunch of people, they're going to be like a whole bunch of little entrepreneurs. They're going to have all these ideas, and so then you're going to want to help them do all of those things. You're going to end up like owning 20, 30, 40, 100 companies.
Oh, wow.
And then because you have the education and you know the limitations of the education, then you're going to go ahead and be able to speak not only to your own community, where there's kind of a little bit of a deception out there that if you get a college degree, you'll be successful. In the past, that model's worked pretty good, but in this new economy, it's not working so good.
Right.
And so you're gonna be looking for solutions, because that's where your heart is, that's where your gifts are, to be able to impact the world. And so as you start to see your gifts evolve and be used, your vision's going to grow. As your vision grows and your heart grows to impact more and more people, then what's going to happen is your business and your economic engine's going to grow as well, and those things will continue to grow, infinitely, I believe.
Well, how is the economic part supposed to grow? I mean, we can take the standard way of going about it, paying off your debt, but if you lack capital and deposits in your account, how banking is today, if you don't have, like, capital investors and stuff like that, it's kind of hard to get that system rolling without a rich uncle or somebody that wants to see you, because you'll never be able to make as much as you're able to borrow. So, I mean, where are we in this, the economic status of it? Where do we turn for funding? How do we get money? Outside of the business model, like, at the end of the day, business is about capital and money. So where are we to establish those relationships? So who has the money? If you got a great idea and you got some great credit and you have everything working for you, you got all of these different things, or at the end of the day when the rubber meets the road, where's the money?
I've self-funded my entire business. All my business enterprises are all self-funded. I've had no other outside funding provided. And the way I got my self-funding is that when I was in high school, I was a janitor, a custodian.
Okay.
I worked it as a custodian. I did lawn mowing. I went ahead and worked at McDonald's. I went ahead and then I started my own companies when I was in high school and then into college. And so I paid for all my way through college on my own. I then built up enough money to where then I went ahead and started to go ahead and, you know, invested into a company. Some companies worked, some didn't. But I continued to go ahead and take that little investment and invest it more. And then I started to invest into real estate, and I took some of the equity from real estate, invested into business, and took some of the profit from business, invested into real estate. So it's all self. I've learned how to self-fund everything, and it all comes from, you know, my own sweat labor.
I understand that. So basically you're saying it takes time?
Well, the thing that's hardest is it took me, you know, I've owned my own company now for 26 years. And so the systems and the models, those were the hardest things. And if somebody had given me $1 billion, I could not have built those models because those models are not available anywhere on the planet.
All right.
I've never seen any of the models. And so those models took decades to fine-tune. I co-authored a book with Tom Kuntz, the most recent past president of Century 21, largest real estate franchise in the world. And when he saw one of the models that I have been blessed to have revealed to me, he looked at it. He said, "Mark, I've never seen anything in the world like this. You have discovered the holy grail to business." And he says, "Do you understand what you have here?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think so." He says, "I don't think you do." he's like, and so 140,000 sales agents in 70 different countries, president of the largest real estate franchise in the world. And when he saw it, he knew what I had better than I did. And so there's people out there like Tom or like myself or like Richard or like Jill. There's people out there that can help us to shorten that cycle dramatically.
Okay.
So I was working on with Tom for years on building a Bachelor of Science degree in entrepreneurialism. I've built an online university. So the things that you have been put on your heart to do, I've done a lot of those things. So I can personally help you shortcut that circuit, you know, that process, and say, "Hey, KJ, yeah, here might be some things. So here's some things that will help you to seek success greater and leverage it." Personally, even if I could get money, I don't want the money because with the money comes a losing of control. And it's like banks, they give people, when you need the money, they don't give it to you. They're only willing to give it to you when you really don't need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Questions that you have?
Well, I mean, I just think it's like, well, when business entrepreneurs come together, like most major companies have a board, and, you know, like they sit together and they form these think tanks, just like we're doing now, and they get on a specific zeitgeist of like their mindset of like, you can come in and look at my business model and you can tell me like, "KJ, well, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong." But as you're doing that, you become more of a mental investor more so than a capital investor, right? So I haven't been privy to know any guys that's older than I am to be mentors to help me, like, walk the beaten path. It's just like I'm beating my own path in the ground.
And how old are you?
I'm 36.
Okay. So I'm 52. And,
okay.
And I didn't have mentors either. Like Tom Kuntz, he's probably my first mentor, real mentor. And he says, I'm sorry, how old again are you?
36.
So he said, Mark, I'm not a mentor to you. He says, you're a mentor to me. That's just kind of the kind of guy he is. He's in his mid-60s. But there was a lot that he learned, you know, from me. But I learned a lot from him immensely. And so so I've been where you're at. I wish when I was 36 that I had somebody with my experience that was 52 that could help me, for sure. But there wasn't, so I just, you know, traveled that path. Just like you want to go ahead and help somebody who's in their 20s because you wish that when you were in your 20s, you had somebody that was 36 that would have helped you, but you didn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Other questions that you have?
I don't.
Okay. So KJ, what would you like the next step to be?
I think to have a meeting. Like, I think face-to-face or over Skype or something like that, like we could sit down and converse, because I think a lot of things that come out of business is, you know, face-to-face, body language, tone, pitch, putting pen to paper. Like, I mean, am I going the right direction? Like, I'm kind of following here, you know. It's,
yeah.
I don't know what the next direction is.
You know anybody who's blind?
No.
Okay. So when I was in fourth grade, you know how in school you have to go ahead and, you know, you can buy books, you know, at least when I was in school, like they gave you these books you could buy. So I go home and, you know, it's like, hey, Mom and Dad, I'd like to have this book. And they're like, okay, yeah, for sure. And you can buy it, Mark. And I'm like, okay. So I worked hard and earned some money, and I bought that book. And the book was Follow My Leader.
Okay.
And it was about a boy who had had a, you know, somebody was playing with fireworks and threw fireworks, and he became blind. And the things that I learned from that, I believe the reason that I learned so much from it is because I had to pay for it with my own money.
Right.
And so I am like a blind person. Like, I don't need to meet people. I don't need to see people. I don't need to, you know, all I need to do is talk to them, because I've developed my listening skills to be so proficient. Just like a blind person can walk into the room and see things through hearing that most people, you know, can't even see. So a blind person can see more in a room than somebody who can see visually, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm following you.
Yeah. So what I would, you know, what I would recommend, you know, KJ, is if you go ahead and do that business extra, you've gotten a lot of benefit from a level one and a level two, but a level three and a level four, the business extra, it would absolutely blow your mind. I mean, the things that you would see would be substantial, and Jill and or one of her team members would go ahead and do the interview, the initial interview of the business x-ray with you, and then I would be more than happy to go ahead and personally do the review with you if you wanted me to. And when you see that business x-ray and the models behind all of the different things that you could do business-wise, it would absolutely blow your mind. And so I believe it would, you know, probably be the best $285 you've ever invested any time in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. $285.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Other questions, KJ?
Does the $285 cover like a workbook? Do I get a book?
What the Business X-Ray does is it covers the $285, and it covers the full initial interview that's done over the phone. There'll be a full report that will be given to you, that it'll be emailed out to you, that'll go ahead and show the different graphics and colors and stuff like that. And then there's additional resources that are given to you. And then it opens you up to a whole nother world of resources. It's not a plan. It's not a business plan. It's a very thorough assessment. It's not a business plan, and it's not ongoing coaching. It also covers the one-on-one review over the phone and over, like, when we get the Business X-Ray, you would get it. You would then tap into my computer, and I would show you all the different pieces of your Business X-Ray, what those meant to you, and how you would be able to put the systems in place to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
I understand that, but will there be a thorough review of the system that I have in place? Because, I mean, when you do an analysis of comparison from year to year, I'm growing at a 40% increase every year, profit wise.
Cool.
So I think the marginal numbers are great as far as me sitting in the driver's seat driving. With the connections that I'll get from on the purchase of the $285, who else will I have to rely on?
Well, again, the Business X-Ray is not ongoing coaching. It's an assessment. There's a gentleman that owned three companies a number of years ago, and he did it, and I did the review, and at the end of the review, he said to me, he said, "Mark, I am so ticked off." And I said, "Whoa, what's going on?" He said, "I wish I'd have known you guys a year ago." He said, "I have three businesses, as you know." And he said, "I paid a consulting company $40,000 to analyze my company." He said, "I learned more in the $285 Business X-Ray than I did in the $40,000 in consulting."
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've never experienced anything like it. I mean, we don't know what the next step is, you know, after the Business X-Ray, because we obviously haven't seen the Business X-Ray. And so there are so many, I mean, like just in the personalities alone, there are 65,536 possible combinations. And so the Business X-Ray, everyone's unique, everyone's different. There's no two that are the same. And so once we see that, we will have clarity to help you to determine what is the next step, what are the things that you need to do to be able to get where you want to go and do it a lot faster.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. Any other questions, KJ, that you have?
No.
Cool. So you want to do that?
Well, I'm sure. I mean, I need to know a little bit more about it.
Sure.
Are there any reviews that I can review on it?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of information that can go ahead and that Jill can get you out a link for it, and then follow up with you on it. And so it'll explain it. And then there's people from all different industries, you know, that have gone through it. And so she'll give you all of that information. Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, because it's like, if you look at my, if you Google upscale barbershop, Cobb Galleria, it'd be like 30 to 40 reviews of just people spilling their heart out about the service.
Nice.
You know, and I would just like to, you know, have a review of what others think about the process more so than just the people that's teaching it.
Yeah,
because
sure.
I don't mean to sound wayward, but in business,
You're just being analytic. So your analytic energy is kicking in, and the analytic intellectually is skeptical, cynical. You know, they just are. That's just kind of how they're built. Nothing wrong with that inherently. That's helped you get, you know, to where you are today, and it's what's holding you back from getting where you could be, where your potential is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there's different dimensions in business. So the first dimension is earning $50,000, which roughly you did in 2014. And then the next dimension is $100,000, you know, which you're on track to do roughly this year. The next dimension after 100,000 is 250. After that is 500. Then it's 1 million. Then it's 2.5 million, 5 million, and those type of things. So each of these dimensions have a different laws and systems that are necessary. So
okay.
You subconsciously believe that you have the capacity to go to 2 million, which is why your WOW income goal, you know. That's where intuitively you know that you can get to. But your analytic will tend to hold you back from getting there because the analytic doesn't want to take the risk. The analytic wants to understand. The analytic, you know, needs. So your analytic is very powerful. It's the most powerful of all the personality energies that you have. And so when that's functioning properly, you'll see phenomenal success. When it's not functioning properly, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities. So your driver energy, for example, you're going to make a lot of mistakes as a driver, and everybody will know it. The analytic and your amiable energy, you'll make a lot of mistakes, and nobody will know it. And that's where the analytic will not take risk in business that they should. And they'll never know they should have, you know, the driver will take risks that they shouldn't take, but when they take those risks that they shouldn't, they're moving forward, and they learn from those mistakes. The analytic and amiable energy base, they'll make mistakes, but there's no proof that they made the mistake, so they won't learn because you can't learn when you're not doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
All right. Cool. Well, Joel, get over that information to you and look forward to hopefully talking again. It was very, very enjoyable, KJ, and I can't wait to see that best-selling book and helping you get that, you know, seeing you get to school and a whole bunch of other things going.
Absolutely. I can't wait either.
All right. Sounds good, KJ. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, here.